From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of May, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalCommerceSearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Mike joined us yesterday afternoon for the recording of our Commodity Week program as well. We'll hear all of that this afternoon on our home station, and many of you will hear it up online now at willag.org or on these radio stations over the weekend if you can't stay with us for the whole of the hour. Mike was joined in that program by Greg Johnson from TGM here in Champaign County. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. And Arlen Suderman from StoneX. He's in Kansas City, Missouri. It was a very good program. Stay with us if you can for the whole hour. Otherwise, again, it's up online or you can hear it on many of these radio stations. For the rest of our program today, we'll also be joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribull for this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at $4.60 and a quarter, a half higher. September at $4.69 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. And December futures, $4.82 and three quarters, 3 and a quarter cents higher. July soybeans, $12.15, up 16 cents. August, $12.15 and a half, 16 higher. And the new crop November, $12 and a penny, finished 13 and a quarter cents higher. Bean meal futures at $3.72.20, $7.30 higher. The bean oil at $43.08, down 16 cents. Soft red winter July contract, 18 and a quarter cents higher for the wheat at 622 and a half, and the hard red July at 650 and a quarter, 13 and three quarters of a cent higher for the afternoon. Crude oil at $78.08, 87 cents lower, that per barrel. Gasoline on the wholesale price down 4 3/10 of a cent at 255 and 3/10 of a cent per gallon, and diesel fuel or heating oil down just about a 10th of a cent at 244. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now around 486 points higher. That's at 38,867. The Closing Market Report can be found and listened to anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. You can also search it out in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple Podcast, YouTube, as well as in Spotify. Mike Zuzlow, GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. First, Mike, thank you for being on yesterday's Commodity Week program. You and Arlen Suderman and Greg Johnson did a really good job. That's coming up for those who can stay with us for the whole hour in just a few minutes here. For the rest of you, online at willag.org right now. I appreciate that, Mike. I also want to just delve right into the marketplace because soybeans had another good day. Why are they leading this charge?
I think two things, Todd. I think the first thing is we did see an unknown sale early in the day in the soybeans, and that's been sorely lacking in terms of the trader mindset, the trader sentiment from the people I talk to in the marketplace. And I think that really did a lot of good to soothe some of the nerves. I don't think that you can keep the Rio Grande do Sul news out of the soybeans at this point, and therefore the meal market as well. And the meal technically looked just so strong Thursday on the monthly chart, in my opinion. But going back to Rio Grande do Sul, they've had, you know, enormous rains, as we talk about in the Commodity Week program, which I have to say, I don't know how you get us to cover so much ground, but you do a phenomenal job. It was a great program. But yeah, the forecast now in Rio Grande do Sul is another 5 inches of rain for the next 7 to 10 days. I mean, it's just not letting up. And so I think that's something that the trade has gotten used to, the idea that Mato Grosso and Center West Brazil is really corn country, and that's probably why the corn was a little softer than the beans. The Brazilian currency also tended to, you know, I think, bring in some bean bulls. Probably the most important feature, though, is I think the wheat was just simply catching up to the corn. And the guys that had probably come in and bought corn and sold wheat earlier this week probably ran for the hills when they saw the ICAR Russian grain estimates go down so substantially. And I can't remember the last time we saw a lower Russian production number instead of a higher one.
I did get a question from a listener this morning. They'd like to know what the normal spread is between corn and wheat.
Wheat and corn is probably $1.20, gets rich for the soft red wheat. You get upwards of $1.55, $1.75. It gets really tough to push on that string unless you've got fundamentals underneath you. You go below 75 cents and you start to start thinking, well, wheat's going to become a feed grain. So $1, $1.25 seems to be a decent amount of premium in soft red wheat minus corn.
Yeah, so that spread is much wider than that. It's on the top end of that range now, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen the close on Friday, and that's where the May hard red wheat, we actually talked about this in the commodity week. I think my closing comment was watch the May hard red wheat. If we've got real weather issues, we haven't played that into the market yet. And we did hit a new 5-month high in hard red wheat, but it was just on two contracts as of Friday's late trade, Todd. And so the soft red wheat, I had not seen a trade as we came on the air here, but that at the last I saw, it was about $1.39, $1.40. So it's getting a little rich in the wheat, but it could go another 30, 40 cents without having too much difficulty, if you ask me.
Is that the trade just understanding or thinking about what's happening in Russia at this time?
I think so. I mean, I think that and also the U.S. I think that when you look at the ICAR production cut and it actually being a cut and the exports being cut for Russia, it really takes away the sting of the Black Sea that we've dealt with for so long. And then when you saw the jobs report today come out and really kind of solidify the idea that the Fed can't raise rates at this point because we really had a tough jobs report, and that really sent the dollar reeling, especially against some key currencies like the real and like the Russian ruble at times. So I think the market understands that there's something at play here with the wheat, and it goes back to us talking about those 10-year lows and stocks to use ratios on a global scale for the corn. So I do think today, Friday, we started on the move to put premium into the crops as we get ready for next Friday's WASDE report. So it's going to be really interesting and very important week to be watching. More sales may need to be made in my side of the ledger and in my deck if we keep carrying this premium, because we'll probably get to a point where we're needing to feed the bull on Friday's WASDE report if we keep going higher into it.
Which crops will you be prepared to pull the trigger on in that case?
Yeah, I started on some old crop corn on Friday, sending out a text blast, but I could see it with the right prices, getting corn, beans, and wheat all done before next Friday's WASDE numbers come out.
Just so folks understand what ICAR is and what it's done, ICAR is the agricultural consultancy based out of looking at Russia's wheat crop, and it dropped that wheat crop from 93 million metric tons to 91 million metric tons. What else are you watching this week?
Probably the biggest thing will be the continuation of the break in the dollar and that theme that you and I have talked about a similarity to the model year of 2009 for hard red wheat. The weather models are not looking kind for corn planting in the eastern corn belt on Friday afternoon. They're not looking kind for rains in the hard red wheat belt of either Kansas and Russia's southern areas. So as long as that keeps fueling this market, I think it could continue to give us new highs.
Hey, thanks much, Mike. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Online at willag.org, willag.org. Let's check now the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Happy Friday to you, Eric. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it is a good Friday. Finally, things slowed down a little bit after a pretty nutty week, so I'm glad to be talking to you.
Well, speaking of nutty, do we have severe weather we need to be aware of?
Yeah, so our main severe threat is going to be next week, but if you look back over this last 7 days, there has been a lot. We are now well above our historical averages on tornadoes. I'm sure you've seen some of the incredible video of the tornadoes that have been across so much of the Midwest, the South, the Plains, and also with that, a lot of hail and straight line wind damage. And we're not done yet. If you're out in the Plains, we got to keep a close eye here just in the next 48 hours on the next couple of rounds that are going to come through, including what could be a significant event that comes through Kansas. And remember, Kansas is the one spot, central Kansas, one spot that's been missed by all these really, really heavy rains as of late. So yeah, this was a rough week to try to stay on top of all of the severe weather in the midsection of the country. And really, it doesn't just go back to, you know, this last 7 days, it goes all the way back to last week as well. So I'm ready for things to slow down a little bit.
I will give my son a heads up. He is the new director of the 4-H camp in the Flint Hills for Kansas. So I'll let him know to watch for that.
Please do.
Yeah, I will. I will. Also, all that rainfall slowed things down. Can you tell me about what that's meant across the Corn Belt?
Well, see, Todd, this is where I struggle because I look at all of that rain and I see it as such a huge thing. And the reason is because I'm always focusing on hydrology. What I mean by that is we just recharged a lot of our soil moisture. In fact, newest maps out from NASA show that even down to 40 inches, we just recovered what had been, you know, the long-standing dry problems from last fall's drought. And so I look at it in a good way. But the other thing is no one's out doing anything. And we've got so much more rain coming in the next 7 days, including our severe weather risk into next week. This is just going to throw the brakes on a lot of folks. But, you know, Todd, I don't know how you'd agree with this or not, but I was talking last night at a sixth grade choir concert. I ran into a couple of growers and they both said to me the same thing. They said, I really wish I was in the field going because the temperatures are good. I'm not worried about a frost coming through the area. But one guy says, you know what? Some of the best corn I've ever planted has been in mid to late May. And he also said, and don't forget, my crop I planted in late 2019, right? That late planted crop in 19 did pretty darn well, good as well. He goes, I'm just getting antsy. And I said, I completely understand that sentiment. And just thinking about when the windows open up. And I'll tell you, I think they open up about, let's call it May 12th, 13th timeframe. That's when I think we start to see some more consistent dry air. So long story short, Todd, this pattern's have been on wash, rinse, repeat.
Well, if you can get it opened up on the 12th, they can probably pull a lot of it off fairly quickly.
I think it will. I think we're going to see some drier conditions come in. There'll be a little bit of cooler air that comes in at that time as well. Although, again, for us, I'm not worried about a frost event coming through here. But I do not think we're done with seeing overnight lows, though, in the upper 30s. I think there could be a couple of nights where they got that colder air that just sneaks in early in the morning as we try to get toward the middle of May. But I think our frost risk is pretty minimal going forward. Almost non-existent, maybe I should say.
South America.
Yeah, so South America, it is one extreme or the other. We have places in southern Brazil like Rio Grande do Sul. Now, they don't grow safrinha crop down there, but they're full season crops right now, which should be moving toward harvest. They just measured in the last 2 weeks 500 millimeters of rainfall across key growing years. That's 20 inches of rain. So this is flooding. We've had flooding into Argentina, huge storms into Argentina. You get one state north of that. There's a place called Santa Catarina. One state north of there is called Parana. It's bone dry. So they've ended the monsoon about 2.5 weeks early. And so, you know, I'm wondering, Todd, maybe you can help me answer this, but this late week bump we've seen in some prices, is it really based on weather or is it based on other things or some combination or just the mysteriousness of the markets? But safrinha's going dry. And we've now had a lot of flooding in southern Brazil. Is there a story there?
Well, I think we've been talking about the Rosario port and the strike, mm-hmm. potentially, issues there. Mm-hmm. They have talked a lot about rainfall, the potential impact it has on Rio Grande do Sul and the soybean crop, particularly there. I don't know the drought has leaked in from the safrinha corn crop, certainly with wheat. Drought in Russia potentially has mm-hmm. been an issue, but we'll have to watch it all, I suppose.
And yeah,
I depend on you for that.
Well, I'll tell you, in southern Russia, I still see it drier for the next 10 days. And in northern parts of Russia, it's going to be really, really cold. So that's not the right combination there either. Elsewhere around the world, we're still getting flooding south of the Yangtze River, which is, of course, in China, still heavy rains in the Middle East. And also for some of the winter crops are getting planted right now in Australia, New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, getting some heavy rains as of late, which is making a lot of growers, I think, there relatively happy. So when I look around the world, big dry spots outside of that southern Russian wheat belt are on the safrinha crop where that moisture ran out about 2 weeks earlier than average. So I have big question marks for me, and I just wonder how much of it's actually playing in the markets or if it's just a side story to something bigger.
We will find out and we'll hear. The markets really look ahead. I don't know just completely always what they have in mind, but once they have a clearer picture, we'll have a clearer picture too.
That's right.
Little boy still around and is little girl coming?
Little boy left. So the El Nino signal's gone. And if you just look at the trade winds, you'll see that it's gone. So why do we still talk about it? Well, the ocean temperatures are still a little warmer than average, but they're the last thing to change. So how quickly do we get into full La Nina type pattern, which is one that steals the momentum from the atmosphere, slows things down and blocks things up? That's yet to be determined. And I would just tell you this, our conversations for the next 6 weeks will be critical to knowing if our drought risk is going to become elevated once we get into late June and July, or if we're going to back off and see that more hot, stormy summer pattern, which right now seems to be the case going forward. So if I had to put a pin in it today, I'd just say I'm still leaning more toward the hot and stormy summer pattern rather than the one that brings in the major drought. So that's what I got.
Hey, thank you much.
Yeah, you bet.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, where you can find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily programming, this program, the Closing Market Report, the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, along with Commodity Week. That's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. It's all right there at willag.org.